We're all being lied to, right? Fertility doesn't have a cliff. Yes, it will decline over time, but there's no drastic cliff.
It wasn't the women that were the problem in fertility.
The reality is that most people that are labeled as infertile are not actually infertile. They are.
There's lawsuits against Nike and Athleta because they didn't disclose the BPA in their clothes, right?
Oh my God.
So that's kind of sad, right? And we can get into polyester underwear causing infertility as well, because there's a electrical charge that happens that stops motility. There's the microplastics, there's the heat. So there's a big issue. Yep. BPA is a hormone mimic. We talked about estrogen mimics. BPA is one, BPS is one. So if you're wearing this stuff, fellas, the underwear itself, it's like the triple whammy.
If you are a male out there struggling with fertility, one of the fastest hacks to increase sperm production is...
Amatma, you're one of my favorite humans. You're always happy. You're always willing to help and share. And I'm so glad to have you on the show today. We've talked about toxins and fertility, and we'll get into a little bit of that today. But before we do... Especially male fertility, which has kind of been puts under the rug. A lot of stuff going on there, right? No one wants to admit that it could be you, but we'll get into that. So tell me a little bit about your story. You are a fertility expert. How did you come to this niche?
I was married to this man who wanted to have babies. Mm-hmm. And every time he talked about having a child, my uterus would literally go, God, no!
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I married the wrong person. What's happening? And I like, never had thought about it before he started talking about it. So it was I wasn't one of those people that was like, oh, I want to be a mother. I want to be a mother. I was like, one day, maybe we'll see.
Yeah.
And I ended up starting researching what I could do for my fertility because I was like, well, if I want to have a child ever... Mm-hmm. Then I should go and figure this out because I'm getting to that point where this was in my early 30s. I was at the point where I was like, it's what I've learned in medical school is that fertility will drop off of a cliff in just a few years. Mm-hmm. So when he started talking about it, I was like, well, if it's not him, but I want to have a child, then I need to A, get a divorce, then find another guy, then see if we want to have children. Like, this is a long path.
This is unraveling before my eyes.
Yeah. So I was like, well, at the rate that I've been going, this is not going to happen. So let me figure out what I can do for my fertility. Mm-hmm. And as I went down that rabbit hole, I just realized that A, we had been lied to in medical school. We're all being lied to, right? Fertility doesn't have a cliff. Yes, it will decline over time, but there's no drastic cliff. I traced that myth all the way back to the 1800s, not based in science, but in churches. They realized in French churches that women were not coming to get their children baptized after the age of 35. So they assumed that it was a fertility drop off, which in the 1800s, like, what fertility drop off? Like, how long were women living back then, right? Yeah. So that's what went through my head. And sure enough, research is now coming out. And I still think this needs way more research. But what they've realized is there's only a 3% drop off between 25 to 29 and 35 to 39. So 3% drop off is very different from a cliff that you can never come back.
Oh, and there's so much pressure. I need to have a baby, you know, and,
it
doesn't need to be that way because it's not a cliff. I love that.
Exactly. That took a lot of the pressure off for me. And, and I did end up getting a divorce and then finding the right person and waiting and finally having a child at 38.
So it did happen.
Yes. Yes. With the right person. Thank God.
Was your first husband a medical doctor?
No, he wasn't. He was into health though. He had been coaching with Dr. Gabriel Cousins. So he was like,
oh, that's big time.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it just wasn't like it was a great fit on paper, but just not a great fit in real life. And then like my uterus screaming is like a really weird response, right? So I'm a believer in intuition and all that. And I was like,
I think it's one of the greatest, powerfulest gifts, and women use it more than men.
Yeah.
But I think at I age and become more wise, and I, you know, intuition is something you need to listen to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's kind of, so that was the beginning, and it was mostly for myself. So I had been doing all this research, like putting the pieces together. And then like, as I started talking to my friends about it, they were like, oh my God, I know someone who's struggling. I know someone who's struggling. I know someone. So they just kept coming to me. And I was like, you guys, this is like not, I just have theories about all of this, right? Like I haven't done anything in real life. They're like, I don't care. What you're saying makes sense. Do your thing. And I was like, okay, sure. So we started. And women that had been trying and struggling, couples, I should say, that had been struggling for 2, 3, 4 years were getting pregnant in a few months. They were staying pregnant, which is a whole different scenario.
Yeah.
And it just like, I just got hooked. It's like, how can you not, right? Like, you're bringing babies into this world.
Yeah, and
magic.
I'm a baby lover. I love babies. I love children. I never would have thought, because I wasn't raised with a big family. My brother was a lot older than me, so I didn't have, you know, I never thought I'd be a good dad or love being a dad and didn't want to have a lot of kids. Now I wish I had like 5. Mm. My wife wanted to have a bunch and she doesn't want to have anymore. Mm. And neither do I. 3's enough. But it is one of the most fun things to have a healthy baby that's smiling, and the sounds and the sassiness and like all of it.
They're precious. Yeah, they're just so precious.
It is. And I had so many friends, you know, fertility challenges that obviously turn from pain into good things that help them help their marriages. If you can push through, you know, all those challenges lead somewhere beautiful. But it's also nice to live out your dreams of having a family. And we're designed for community. And like a lot of those religious back in the day, they took away a lot of the tribal living in communities and ancient wisdom that once was powerful when it comes to raising children and fertility. And we've talked about that on other podcasts. Yeah. And but I'm excited. Let's talk about how, you know, we can become more fertile in this infertility epidemic. We know that microplastics lower sperm count, and there's so many,
so many things.
Yeah, so many things. So for those folks watching, we do want to tackle this fertility topic. I think we'll start with male fertility. Mm-hmm. Why is it a problem? And what are some of the solutions that we could discuss today?
I realized very early on in my career that it wasn't the women that were the problem in fertility.
No, shoot.
What?
It's men.
No. It's actually both,
yeah.
Right? Like, there are so many factors that are happening on both sides. Mm-hmm. And I think the reality is that most people that are labeled as infertile are not actually infertile. They are a couple that both has subfertility. Right. So if we change the conversation to what are all of these different factors that are coming in to lower your fertility, making it so much harder to get pregnant, and a majority of those people are going to get labeled unexplained infertility. They don't have unexplained infertility. There's no such thing as unexplained, right? If it's unexplained, it means you haven't dug.
It means it's a UFO. Is it the UFOs of the medical community? If we can't explain it, then we're just going to call it unexplained and not dig to the root cause.
That's the problem.
That's super sad.
And again, the word infertility brings up so much stuff that has, like, it's not actually infertile. Like, most of these people have a struggle conceiving, but the way that we define infertility is just a misnomer in so many ways. Mm-hmm. So that was my first realization. The second one was, if males are involved, then what is it that's happening on the male side? And how much of it is detectable in the sperm and how much is not? Mm-hmm. And what we see, I didn't see this as much 15 years ago, but there has been, in the last 15 years that I've been doing this, there is a huge drop off of sperm. So we know that medically.
That's like, falling off a cliff.
Yes. The sperm are actually falling off of a cliff.
They are.
But they're not falling off in the sense that it's an age-related thing. It's like no one's looking at the underlying stuff, which so much of it has to do with toxins, right? The male body is not designed to be exposed to so much hormonal influence.
especially when those hormones start mimicking estrogen. So when you have a feedback loop of estrogen that is floating around in your bloodstream, basically tells the brain, I don't need any testosterone, I'm good. You don't get testosterone, that is also dropping off of a cliff, and it affects the production of sperm. So the sperm is declining as a byproduct of the hormonal imbalances. And the hormones, like so much of it just mimics estrogen. It's unfortunate.
So a lot of the toxins are mimicking estrogen, estrogen mimics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so that specifically is affecting males.
Yeah, because the feedback loop. So our bodies make testosterone. It turns into estrogen. Estrogen goes back and tells the brain, hey, we're good. We don't need any more of these hormones.
Yeah.
So that's true in men and women. So the testosterone loop is basically getting disrupted by the fact that there's estrogen floating around that doesn't belong to you, right? It doesn't belong to the male. So, and this is happening in women too. It's the same, like estrogen mimicking compounds just wreak havoc on our bodies. We're not designed for it. So when you have a very strong hormone that shuts off the production of pituitary hormones that are signaling, that are controlling all of the, they're like the, you know, puppet masters behind the scene. And if you have this puppet master that's like, oh, I'm good, I don't need to do any work, then drops the strings and sorry, you have a whole chaos that's happening at a lower level that isn't getting, the message isn't getting back to the brain like, hey, we're in desperate need of some mastery.
I'm seeing teenagers that don't have their testosterone so low, they're getting on TRT, testosterone replacement therapy, at a young age.
Well, so let's talk about that. So the problem that I think is happening is you have these young boys being put on testosterone. If you remember what I just said, testosterone converts to estrogen, which feedbacks to the brain. Testosterone also has a direct loop in the male body back to the brain, shutting down the production of sperm. So testosterone is the best way to create infertility in a male. And why are we not talking about that?
Nobody's talking about that.
Nobody's talking about that.
Because dudes like that. There's, I have young in my family, because of social media, I want to get on TRT. So, and they're 18 years old. They don't even need it, but they want it so that they can look like that. Mm. I don't know. Here I am. Like I'm an influencer, right? A health influencer. And I look at the vegan influencers, the carnivore influencers. You have the famous carnivore influencer that took a lot of testosterone and growth hormone. And, you know, there's part of me, it's like, well, maybe I should get on TRT. You know, I'm not going to, only if it was an emergency, like, you know, and I couldn't function and be a great husband and family man and my energy was low and I would take the 2 years off my life to have a better life, right? But otherwise, the social pressure and the environmental toxin pressure, you know, both social and now environmental, lowering testosterone is leading to more of an infertility epidemic for sure.
Like most young men don't need TRT, right? Oh.
They're raging.
Like, yeah.
Yes.
It's possible. I've seen 25-year-olds that some of my patients, actually the youngest boy I've seen is 23. I say boy, man, I don't know. He's in that gray zone.
Yeah. A gray zone male.
23, yeah. 23. But his partner was like 38, right? Mm-hmm. So he was coming to me because she wanted to get pregnant. And he was like, I'm happy to support this. And then we, like, he refused testing. We test his sperm. Of course, it's like a shit show. Like, motility, morphology count, everything was low. So then we test his hormones and his testosterone was low. And he, this man did not look like he was low in testosterone. He was, like, honestly, like, super fit, right? Mm-hmm. Works out, goes to the gym, all of the things. And I'm talking to him about this, and he's like, well, I don't really need to do anything because, you know, like, I was like,
look at these,
okay, you're feeling yourself, but come, like, this is not going to get her pregnant.
Yeah.
So we're going to need to do something about it. And he, like,
it's unfortunate because he was like, well, can't you just boost my testosterone levels? And that's what we see so often is like, what's the quick fix? What's the easy solution? But the reality is you can't. If you give a male testosterone, it's the fastest path to lowering the sperm because of the way the feedback loop works. So the brain has to be sending a signal to make sperm and testosterone. And if that's if the testosterone signal isn't happening, the sperm signal is also not happening. So
yeah, and all the TRT clinics don't want to hear that.
No, definitely not. And like these clinics are just even, I'll give you the other extreme. I have a patient right now who's 50, 47, something like that. He's older. He's a functional medicine doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's like, this is my jam. This is what I do all day long, but I cannot get my wife pregnant. And I was like, don't worry, we got you. We'll figure this out. And he didn't disclose on his forums that he's taking TRT. I was like, here is like 500 articles that show if you take testosterone, you're going to lower your sperm. He's like, yeah, but what do I do? Like, I can't live without my testosterone.
Yeah, he already shrunk himself.
I was like, we're going to build you back up. We have to. Like,
so you can wean people, you can literally wean people off.
Yeah. And he switched to Clomid because, again, medical doctor, he's going to do his own thing. So he's like, well, I'll shift from testosterone to Clomid, which is like in low doses has shown to help improve testosterone levels as well as sperm. So he's been doing that. And he came back and was like, all right, I'll do all of your stuff too, because this is not working fast enough. So we started him on some herbs. And 4 months, his testosterone went from 280, which is sort of in the dumps. The optimal is like 500 to 700 for fertility. So 280 is like really low. It went from there to 420. So we're not quite there yet, but way better.
Way better.
And he's like, herbs didn't do this. It's my peptides and it's this and that. And I was like, uh-huh. And you were trying all that before you came in. So herbs did something.
Herbs are so powerful. That's a whole nother show, but they're, I mean, crazy powerful.
Yeah.
When you look at what they can do.
Yeah.
And in tribal communities, they're rites of passage for males, and they were testosterone boosting herbs. Mm-hmm. And then some supplement company gets a hold of that story.
And then it's like in every supplement, along with other things that shouldn't be there.
Quick break to talk about something I love, coffee, because this is one of those daily habits most people don't realize can quietly work against them, not for them. Coffee is one of the most sprayed crops in the world, and if it's not sourced carefully, you can end up drinking pesticides and mold along with your caffeine. That's why I'm intentional about the coffee I drink. I choose coffee that's organically grown, low acid, and tested for mold and toxins, so I get all the benefits without the baggage. If you're drinking coffee every day, this is one of the easiest upgrades you can make. Check out the cleanest and healthiest coffee in the world that I trust at lifeboostcoffee.com/nontoxicdad for a discount. Okay, so let's move into the next phase of this. So male testosterone's in the bucket. TRT is not the answer. That was a big point we needed to make, because people are listening to this going, oh shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
In literally, some women are in tears right now listening to this going, well, that's why we're not pregnant, you know?
Yes.
And so that's a huge gift. So let's talk about other things that wreck male testosterone. We talk about endocrine disruptors, you know, microplastics. Everyone's going to ask, what about soy-based foods like tofu and, you know, is that real, right? Fermented soy is not, and this is not. So folks are looking, they know about estrogen, especially women, because they think estrogen dominance can cause cancer. So the, you know, are these estrogen mimics, these estrogen raising compounds and foods, what are they and how do we avoid them?
Well, so first we should think about which foods have estrogen. So soy has phytoestrogens, which mimic estrogen, but they're actually going to bind to the receptors of estrogen. So they're going to have similar effects to estrogen, but lower the impact. So it's going to be like having a milder version of the estrogen that your own body would produce. And there's lots of data in the cancer world that it actually prevents cancer. There is data of like taking soy isoflavones in women with breast cancer to help lower. I'm not a cancer expert, but that's available, right? That's real. But there are also estrogens and other hormones in meat, because meat is getting, you're pumping meat full of these hormones so that it can be bulkier. It's literally doing what men want muscles to look like. Like, oh, I want to get bulky. I want to get buff.
They use antibiotics to do the same thing. They give antibiotics, not for antibiotics, but to make them more bulky.
So a lot of meat is infiltrated with that. And even if it's not, like you're using the non-infiltrate, is that the right word?
I'd say a regenerative cow that's living like cows are supposed to be meant.
Perfect state.
Yeah.
It still has estrogen, right? It's the normal state of an animal. So protein, whether it's plants like soy, or even to a weaker effect, pumpkin has some estrogenic effects.
Pumpkin seeds.
Flax seeds have some estrogenic effects. So there are plants that have these like phytoestrogens, these low levels. And then you have animals to a different gradations of how much estrogen is in them. So we should lower our impact, but which one are we going to cut out? And I think that soy gets put on the chopping block a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I don't actually think that that's a reality. If the beans were grown well, if they're organic, they're non-GMO, all of those things, if care was taken in the production of that, then you're probably okay with small amounts of soy, probably okay with small amounts of non-hormone laden meats.
Yeah.
Right? It's where you get to the extreme that it becomes very problematic. So, I think those are definitely, as far as food goes, that's something we should definitely consider.
Yes.
Well,
what I like about that is that, you know, if you're eating all soy or if you're eating all meat, you definitely could throw off your hormones, right?
Yeah.
Because soy is just the easiest one to talk about, but there's others, right?
Yeah.
So you just have to be careful with the phytoestrogenic compounds in plants. Don't eat that. You shouldn't eat a singular diet anyway on anything.
You shouldn't have...
We're meant to vary our diet, right?
You shouldn't eat all soy. You shouldn't eat all animal, right? Like the whole...
I'm a balanced
diet.
I'm a balanced diet fan, and I don't mind. Like, I'm glad I'm not gung-ho or push anyone diet. I'm like, you're good. You know, you're on your journey and do what, you know, because you're going to balance out, because you're going to get feedback loops. Because I see people that, you know, go to a certain diet and guess what happens? They have no testosterone because they went to an extreme.
Yeah.
And they shut down production for one diet or another. Now they're on TRT and it's fixing the problem. They look great, but you cause the problem by having a mono diet program that really isn't serving your body the best. I mean, I think we're
absolutely
mixing it up.
I think we're designed for a variety.
Yeah.
So anytime that we're going away from that, it's gonna be problematic. So, and I think a lot of diets tend to isolate, especially like the trends of meat only, or then the meat and fat, and then meat and fat and vegetables, like some variation of that. And some of them are more balanced than others. But I think anytime you're eating the same thing all the time, there's going to be downstream effects, even if they're not immediate.
Hormones is kind of where we're
right.
And that's why I brought that up. I really wanted to make sure that diet is a piece of it. We talked about the other hormone disruptors, BPA, the different bisphenols. BPS is worse. Oof, the BPA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like all the BPA free products. I was just talking to my business partner about this yesterday. He's got his Nalgene bottle.
Nalgene, no.
And he brings up this, he's like, oh, I'm doing good, right? And I'm like, I just have to turn away. Like, I have to pretend you're not drinking out of that because it, he's like, but it's BPA free. I'm like, BPA free means they use BPS or BPF, which is more endocrine disrupting than the BPA to begin with.
And on fertility, BPS is worse, right?
Yeah. So it's like we think we're doing better sometimes, and often we're just not. Like, if it's plastic, it's freaking plastic. Like, yeah. I don't care if it has a BPA-free label on it. It's still plastic. So,
or if it's some special plastic.
Use something to make it. The same, I've seen you talk about it, actually. Fabrics, right? Like yoga pants, yoga gear. Like, so much of it is plastic.
It is plastic.
And we're wearing it. The skin absorbs everything. So if we're absorbing all of these chemicals, we're not even putting them into our body. We think, oh, it's my skin's protecting me. Well, yes, except as soon as your skin heats up, the pores open up, everything goes in. So it's, and like, yes, I still wear yoga pants sometimes, but you will not see me live in yoga pants because the amount of plastic that would be introduced into my system, I just choose not to.
Yeah, I mean, there's lawsuits against Nike and Athleta because they didn't disclose the BPA in their clothes, right?
Oh my God.
So that's kind of sad. But okay, guys, you're wearing Lululemon, you know, whatever. All the these plastics, like, they're, a lot of these fabric companies own each other and companies own each other. And they're getting the fabric from the same sources, and it's super toxic. You're wearing your Nike pants, right? And we can get into polyester underwear causing infertility as well, because of there's a electrical charge that happens that stops motility. There's the microplastics. There's the heat. They did a study and showed that it did 100% of male dogs, and they did it on men too. And then they did a study on male dogs and female dogs in the plastic underwear. Caused infertility.
Wow.
So there's a big issue. Yeah. And then BPA is a hormone mimic. We talked about estrogen mimics. BPA is one. BPS is one. So if you're wearing this stuff, fellas, the underwear itself, it's like the triple whammy, right? It can have the chemicals. It can have the endocrine disruptors.
If they're tight, they're like heating.
Yeah, the heat is an issue as well.
More, and that's going to shut down sperm. That's going to kill the sperm that are there.
Yeah, the underwear alone, the fabric, the energy, right, of the fabric. I mean, it's 100% shut down in the study. It was a male sling, right? So it was like a jock strap, you know, that they put on. But it was a powerful study back in the 1990s. I literally had to order the, that wasn't even available on the internet, right? It was hard to find, and they wanted it for population control is what they said. That was the subject on the introduction. There's no effective male birth control, so for population control. So we're exploring this as an option, and they did that. That was the thesis of the study. That was the result they were looking for, and they got the result. And then it wasn't too long after that. Everyone was wearing polyester underwear. So I don't know. That's a kind of a fun conspiracy. I feel like I'm on Joe Rogan now, right? Underwear was a conspiracy to cause infertility and population control. I'm not saying that. I don't believe that. But it's interesting.
It's interesting. It's definitely interesting. And I think—
So what else? What else?
More. I have another one for you. Atrazine.
Oh, atrazine. That's a big one.
Atrazine. It's in the water. It's causing massive declines in sperm health. It's having an effect in women too, but the studies are showing that it hits the sperm really hard. So that's another one.
Now, what do they use? Tell our listeners where atrazine comes from.
It's in water. So
it's a pesticide.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, forgive me if I don't have all
that's okay.
background.
Yeah, you don't need to.
I go into the clinical side. My approach is get a freaking water filter. Just get the shit out of your water, right? Like, that's the solution, is just get a good, high-quality water filter that actually filters all of this stuff out. And
it's a big move.
Do, like, reverse osmosis, distillation, whatever works for you. But something to pull out all of the toxins. And unfortunately, what I see a lot of my clients doing is that they're using like Brita filters, which are going to take out chlorine. And that's about it.
Somewhat. They're chlorine.
Yeah.
So when you look at a water filter, when it says it, and when it says takes out the taste of chlorine.
Yeah.
It's not removing the chlorine. It's taking out the taste. It takes out enough.
It's neutralizing.
Yeah, it's taking out enough that you can't taste the chlorine. So it's not effectively removing all the chlorine.
Yeah.
And nor do they, do Brita water filters, according to studies, remove heavy metals.
Yeah, and that's another rabbit hole we could go down. Heavy metals, lead, mercury, they have linked to lowered sperm counts and lowered testosterone levels. So I feel like a lot of it,
so dudes with the mercury amalgam fillings,
yeah,
go to a medical professional, health practitioner that will walk you through that. Do it
safely.
Otherwise, you can get very sick, right? And they affect your hormones, mercury, your thyroid, your energy, which backs into all your hormones. It's a crazy world out there. So
it is.
How I want to end the show is, in summary, there's these different insults on fertility in males. We kind of focus there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a lot of this moves to females as well. But TRT, I think, was the biggest takeaway, and how it's wrecking fertility and sperm counts. The estrogen mimics that can happen from overeating toxic meat and essentially toxic food, even on the plant and meat side, right?
Yeah.
And avoiding plastics, BPA, phthalates are a huge testosterone disruptor.
Oh, yes. We didn't talk about the phthalates. Can we just say about it for one second?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I know you talk about it all the time, but fragrances, anything that has a fragrance. And
male cologne, get rid of it, boys.
Cologne, I feel like my guys are not, they're like, oh, what? I don't have any of that. And then go into
their deodorant
car.
On. Yeah.
Their car? Oh my God. Those little,
they had
like
a black Christmas tree. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, those are awful. So
that's my number one video, is ripping them down. I hate those things. That was done with intention to disrupt the market.
Oh God. And then if your partner has those like plug-in air freshener things around the house, the stuff that makes your beard oil smell good, you can get rid of all of it. Because if it smells good, it probably has phthalates, unless it's very specifically designed to not. Yeah. So
huge.
I got my husband this like sandalwood oil. Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's so good.
See?
But it's like actual sandalwood, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like the fragrance of sandalwood.
Yeah, there's every fragrance that's out there is mimicked by chemical factories that are trying to, it's not about the fragrance. It's about the addiction that it can create. And that's why you become addicted to your car fresheners, your colognes, your perfumes, your beard oils, all of it. So the phthalates are another fertility.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
It's a big one for men. Phthalates have very similar estrogen mimicking effects. So anything that mimics estrogen essentially in the body, if it's a chemical form that's similar to estrogen, it wreaks havoc.
Shutting down testosterone and estrogen, shutting down testosterone and sperm production. That duality. So to end the show, I love to ask our guests if you could, and we've had this before, right? I think I might have asked you this question off camera, but if you could remove as part of a non-toxic lifestyle, there's so many toxins, right? There's emotional toxins, there's physical toxins, there's chemical toxins, there's all these toxins, right? If there was one that you hate the most, and you would like the world to no longer have it, it could be anything, right?
I think my personal favorite to get rid of is phthalates. And that's mostly like a very selfish thing because I go into people's houses and it hits me and I'm like, oh God, I gotta go.
Like, you want to ruin the perfume industry. You want to take away their...
I just want to stop the air fresheners in the house. Like, take that shit away.
That's one of my biggest... So I was in my... I'll let you end with something even more beautiful than that, but because I'm with you and you got me excited talking about fragrances because I hate them as well. And I don't say hate very often. Mm. And I'm really upset with fragrances. So I'm driving here and I get into my Uber and I didn't see fragrance. I didn't see any trees. I didn't see any plugins. Yeah. And I'm like, I smell fragrance. And before I left, because I didn't text them beforehand, I'm like, do you have air fresheners in here? And he's like, oh, no, back of, you know, in the back of the car. And I'm like, okay, what does he mean? He pulls out. Do you know those things that are in bathrooms, those big plastic things that go psh, like every 10 minutes?
Oh, no.
5 minutes, whatever. I think it was on a 5 minutes. He had it sitting and it was in the back of the thing misting.
Oh.
And then when he dropped me off, he pulled out my luggage and he went to turn it back on.
All your...
And on top of this, the guy had asthma. He was having labored breathing and I saw his puffer. Oh. Right. And I said, do you know that fragrance can cause asthma?
Right.
These chemicals can cause inflammation in your lungs and cause asthma.
Yeah.
He's like, he didn't just thought I was nuts. But as he pulled out my luggage, he turns it back on. And it's just my luck, you know. Fragrance is fighting me. This is like sprays it right in my freaking face. Oh man, I was so mad. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then I typically don't get brain fog, but I had some nasty brain fog from that. So when you say get rid of phthalates to remove one of the powerful chemicals that are inside of fragrances and take down the fragrance industry, I will join you in that mission.
I would love it to be gone because I forget like how many times I've been in an Uber that it's just like, oh, crap, can I change my Uber driver? Like, I'm already in the car, but I'm like, oh, this is gonna be rough.
It's gonna be a rough trip. And you want to be kind to people, you don't make them feel bad, and I have all these ways of doing it.
And like, I understand why the Uber drivers do it, but tone it down.
Yeah, tone
like,
it down.
Get some natural stuff.
Look, we can need a tag Uber and have chemical-free cars. Let's petition for that.
Yes, that would be amazing.
It's a great way to end the show. Any last final thoughts?
Skirtle cooling. We'll end on a high note. So if you are a male out there struggling with fertility, one of the fastest hacks to increase sperm production is cooling the testicles. And the way you do that is grab an ice pack, wrap it in some paper napkin or napkins, and stick it under your balls.
What about red lighting your balls?
The research on that is a little fuzzy. So I'm not jumping to that yet. But the skirtle cooling is legit. It increases sperm count, sperm motility, and morphology in 6 weeks. There is nothing else. There is no amount of supplements that I can give you that will replace that.
Oh, man. There's going to be a lot of cold scrotum
balls
after this podcast. So that is a high note. That's a win for all women and some men because I don't want to do that.
Yeah, guys love it.
They do?
They come back, they're like, actually, that was, I'm not going to complain about it. What they really want to say is, it feels good.
They should say that. Oh my gosh, that is so good. That's a great way to end. I'm now laughing and my endorphins are good and my testosterone probably just spiked and who knows what I'm going to do tonight.
Oh boy.
So it is wonderful seeing you again, having you on the show, and just continue to wish the best for you and love and grace and wisdom, and as you continue helping people around the world. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.